From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carol Van Dam. President Obama went to Wall Street today to deliver a warning to bankers.
Those on Wall Street cannot resume taking risks without regard for consequences and expect that next time American taxpayers will be there to break their fall.
The president's plan for overhauling financial regulations creates a new category for the nation's largest banks. If those banks fail, it could once again threaten the entire financial system. The so-called Tier 1 companies will face stricter rules and penalties aimed at limiting how much risk they can handle and how much damage they would cause should they fail. But under the president's proposals, taxpayers would still be liable for bank failures. A new survey shows that doctors, by a large majority, support adding a new public option to compete with private insurance. The survey was published online by the New England Journal of Medicine. NPR's Joseph Shapiro reports.
Nearly three-quarters of doctors say they favor a public option. That included the 63% who say they'd like to see patients get a choice of public or private insurance, and another 10% who favor a public option only. They'd like to see a single-payer system. 27% of doctors support giving private options only. Still, study author Dr. Salome Kehani of Mount Sinai School of Medicine says support for the public option cuts across all groups of doctors, by specialty, type of practice, and geography.
The support for the public option was broad and widespread.
Doctors already have experience with Medicare, and she says the survey shows that, for the most part, doctors say they like that government-run program. Joseph Shapiro, NPR News.
The private security contractor in charge of guards at the U.S. Embassy in Kabul was slow to tell the State Department about the misconduct of some of the guards. That was the message from a top State Department official today, as we hear from NPR's Michelle Kellerman.
Undersecretary of State Patrick Kennedy told the Commission on Wartime Contracting that the State Department shares the Commission's concerns about the misconduct of the guards, who were photographed at drunken parties and accused of taking part in lewd hazing activities.
We're also very concerned about armored groups' delay in reporting their knowledge of these actions to the State Department. The incidents of misconduct are repugnant and demanded swift and appropriate action.
Kennedy held out the possibility that Armor Group North America's contract could be terminated. One of his colleagues said the department is still investigating and is looking into allegations that some guards may have been involved in sex trafficking. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
Authorities in New York City have raided a number of homes in the boroughs of Queens today as part of a terrorism investigation. The New York Police Department confirms the raids were carried out, but refused to provide details of the probe. Federal authorities are briefing senior members of Congress on the matter today. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials closed up 21 points to 96.26. The Nasdaq was up 10 points to 20.91. This is NPR News. Jody Powell, the White House press secretary under President Jimmy Carter, has died at the age of 65. He apparently suffered a heart attack. NPR's Ken Rudin has the story.
Jody Powell was a familiar face during the 4 years of the Carter presidency. During the Israeli-Egyptian summit, the Iranian hostage crisis, and Carter's 1980 campaign, first against Edward Kennedy and then Ronald Reagan. Powell, along with the late Hamilton Jordan, joined up with Carter several years before he was elected governor of Georgia in 1970. Powell served as Governor Carter's press secretary, a job he stayed with as Carter ran for president in 1976 and afterwards when Carter was elected. At one point, President Carter said that, quote, Jody Powell knows me better than anyone else except my wife. After Carter was defeated for re-election in 1980, Powell went on to work on several special projects and published his memoirs. At his death, he was the CEO of the public relations firm Powell Tate. Ken Rudin, NPR News, Washington.
A New Haven, Connecticut autopsy confirms the body found inside a wall at a Yale University research building is that of graduate student Annie Lay. She's been missing since last week. Her body was found yesterday, the day she was supposed to be married. Police say she was specifically targeted. Authorities did not say whether they had any suspects. A judge in Atlanta has ordered the surviving children of slain civil rights leader, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. and Coretta Scott King, to hold a shareholders meeting to talk about their father's estate. The Reverend Bernice King and Martin Luther King III sued their brother Dexter King to force him to turn over the books of their father's estate. The lawsuit claimed King refused to provide documents about the estate's operations. The three siblings control a company that manages their father's intellectual property. I'm Carol Van Dam, NPR News in Washington.